we gather in the Lord's house this morning, this third Sunday of the season of Lent. Prepare our hearts and minds to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. Let us worship together.
So glad you chose to worship with us this morning on this fifth Sunday of Lent this morning. One thing I need to explain to you this morning, what you see in the bulletin won't exactly be what we're going to sing this morning, the choir. As you can tell, we have a bunch of women sick today. And so we're going to change it up a little bit today. The men are going to sing for you this morning, and the men are going to sing Because He Lives. And so I just wanted to give y'all why we're not singing when he was on the cross this morning. And so we'll do that next week for you. Hopefully our ladies will be well. And so y'all pray for our ladies. They are under the weather. And pray that we get well before April the 14th for our cantata on April the 14th. It's trying times right now with this sickness, this crud that's going around. And so be in prayer for the choir, that we get through this sickness and we get well and we're able to sing on the 14th. And so please pray for us as we fight this sickness that's out there. If you know this call to worship that we're going to sing, so feel free to sing with us this morning. Change my heart, oh God, as we sing.
Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
good to gather in the Lord's house this Lenten Sunday morning. As we are called in this season of Lent to reflect and prepare, equip ourselves for approaching the cross and approaching the empty tomb. I hope you've been taking the time over the past couple weeks in this season to prepare your heart and your mind for what God is doing in your life. I hope you're using the devotional that we've been providing each week. And this week, the color is green. Pick this up in the foyer as you leave this morning. As a guide, as we continue this prayer time, as we are in the season of Lent, as we are in a time of interim, the Lenten guide prepares you and equips you to do both of those things, praying and reflecting on His Word. I do want to remind you, next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall, we are having a church-wide prayer walk. This will be a time for our church family to gather, to read His Word, and to reflect and pray about different aspects of our congregation, those that happen within these walls and outside these walls. It is a church-wide opportunity to gather in prayer. 9 o'clock next Sunday morning in the fellowship hall. That's where we'll start, and we will finish up, assuming it's not raining, outside on the front lawn as we wrap up our time of prayer. So please, please come out next Sunday morning for our prayer walk. Many other things going on in the life of our church. Our adult Bible studies begin next Sunday night. Leslie Cornell, who is under the weather, will be leading a Just Open the Door study for our women. Jeff Pritchard, who will be leading a study called Not a Fan, starting next Sunday night at 5:30. Opportunities for everyone. Our youth studies will continue. Our children's studies will continue. So please find a spot to come and participate on Sunday nights here at First Baptist Elon. We are in the midst of the season where we anticipate Palm Sunday. We anticipate Maundy Thursday. We anticipate Good Friday, and we anticipate Resurrection Sunday. We have many opportunities of Holy Week that are coming up. You will notice many of those were in your newsletter this week. There are opportunities you can see around the church this morning. Opportunities where we'll come together as the community of Elon, gather with other congregations for worship on Good Friday and on sunrise service on Easter Sunday morning. Other opportunities where we'll worship, as Gay just mentioned, a couple weeks away from our choir cantata. You will want to be a part of that service. Many other things going on in the life of our church, and I really want to encourage you to be active, to be in place, because there are opportunities for everyone. I want to give a shout out and thanks for those that came out yesterday morning to spread mulch around the church. And you will have noticed it didn't all get done, did it, Jerry? Not quite. He's shaking his head, and he knows that means next Saturday we're going to be spreading mulch again. So please come out next Saturday and help with this as we wrap up. We won't be working on the parking lot, which was a part of the plan in the newsletter, but we will be working on the mulch again next Sunday, Saturday morning. So please come out and be a part of that. Many other things you can find in your bulletin, many other things you can find in your newsletter. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Liz Hill, who is going to come and share and welcome our guest speaker with us this morning.
Several years ago, we had a lot of excitement at the gym where I attend that we had a new class starting. It was going to be a circuit training class with a retired highway patrolman. Well, unfortunately for us, quickly the circuit training, which was a very similar class, became a boot camp class, even with the Marine Corps workout that we do. But Reverend Williams was born in Spivey's Corner and attended Midway High School in Dunn. He graduated from East Carolina University with a BS degree in political science. He recently retired with 30 years of service as a Master State Trooper. He was ordained to the ministry through High Point Educational Missionary Baptist Association in July 2004. He briefly served as an associate pastor at Glen Raven Missionary Baptist Church. In 2006, he became the associate youth pastor at First Baptist Church in Burlington, where he served under the tutelage of Reverend Stiles. He served as the chaplain of the Alamance County Prison Ministry, where he ministered to inmates confined and incarcerated in Alamance County. He is also a peer counselor with the Highway Patrol and still ministers to fellow officers during difficult periods and stressful situations. He's currently the senior pastor of Sassafras Grove Park Baptist Church of Yanceyville. He is deeply devoted to his family. He's been married to his lovely wife, Deborah, for over 25 years and plays an active part in the lives of their two children, Lauren and Joshua. Well, lucky for us, during this boot camp class, we've developed a friendship with this man. He has a passion for exercise, but a deeply love of people and a deep love of Jesus Christ. And so I think that you will really enjoy hearing him today. He just has a wonderful message. I've heard him speak several times at Faith Methodist Church, but I think you'll enjoy his sermon. So thank you for coming.
It is good to have you with us this morning. We look forward to you bringing God's word this morning. Now we turn in our time of worship to God's word, reading our opening scripture reading, Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. As we reflect on these words from the psalmist, may we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, our hearts are blessed as we gather today in your presence, for you have given us freedom from all of our transgressions and joy in exchange of those heavy hearts. You are the refuge that we seek when we are troubled and the courage we need when we venture into our days. So this morning we gather on this Sunday in the season of Lent as we reflect on who you are, what you have done for us, and what we are challenged to do. Continue to bless us today with your steadfast love as we declare our trust in you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Living Hope. Let us worship together.
Free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip.
As we reflect on that opportunity and what this season of Lent is all about, let's stand again and worship as we sing our offertory hymn, hymn number 330, Amazing Grace. Let us stand. second scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, his second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, reading verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of the reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he has made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we confess our sins to him this day. Let us pray. Loving Father, all the fancy words in the world, expressed in eloquent prose or decorated with emotion, spoken with conviction, cannot compete with a heartfelt sorry. There are times when we are all too aware of our limitations, conscious of our sin and the distance it creates between us. Sometimes sorry is all the heart can bear to express. It is only you who can read our and understand the language of our hearts. Only you can translate our sorry into the prayer we would have prayed if we had the words to speak it. Then you forgive us, having forgiven us many times before and will forgive us many times in the future, and embrace us with your love, drawing us closer to you in this time, in this moment, in this day. Thank you, Father, for listening to the message of our hearts and the words that we express. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
You. Let us pray. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Sovereign God of the universe, you that formed us and fashioned us and knew us before we were in our mother's womb, how on this day your word so declares that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. We're glad today for life, health, and strength, for all of your provisions, but even more than that, we're glad of that wonderful gift that you gave of your very self, the true essence of salvation. Speak now, God, unto these your children. Use me now for thy glory. And in the name of Jesus, we ask it all, we say, amen. Sunday school class found themselves being instructed by their Sunday school teacher. This class of primary students, ages 6 and 7 years old. And the Sunday school teacher says to them, if I sold my house and sold my car and I provided those funds to the church, would I go to heaven? And the class said, no, teacher. She went on to say, if I went and worked at the church every day and beautified the church as best I could, would that ensure that I go to heaven? And they said, no, teacher. She said, well, class, what would it take for me to go to heaven? Some little boy in the back of the class raised his hand and said, well, teacher, you got to be dead. He was on point, wasn't he? We honor God the Father, we honor Jesus the Son, and we honor the Spirit of God here at First Baptist of Elon, to my good friend, Pastor Durham, and to other ministers of the gospel that I see here, my good friend, Pastor Woody Lamb, any other messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to this wonderful faculty and staff here, my good friend, Chief Jeff Pritchard, and so many others that I see here today, my good friends at the Edge Health and Fitness Center, and for my friend, Sister Liz, I just want to thank you. I'd never thought and imagined and dreamed that you're going to give me such a nice introduction. I tell you, it's nice when people say good things about you, even if they're not true. I'm happy to be here today. This isn't my first time at Elon. I came here many, many years with my good friend, Brother Jeff Pritchard, and many days on Friday mornings, he and I would kneel right here on the front pew as we would pray for this community and as we would pray to God. So it's not my first time here. And I'm appreciative that you would ask me to come. It worked out that I pastor a church at Cypress Grove in Yanceyville, North Carolina. But being the fifth Sunday, I usually yield those services to our associate minister. So I was free to come today. And I've already been given a heads up and to say that y'all like to get out around noon. But I'm looking around, I don't see no clocks. So I'm going to do, oh, listen there, she got her watch off right now. I'm going to do my best to have you out of here before 2, so we'll go ahead and get started. We thank God for this privilege to stand before you today and just to give you a little message of the gospel. I want to go to the Word of God today, and I was given a heads up that you wanted the scripture prior, and we're going to just read that portion of scripture for you today into your hearing. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read from the Word of God. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. 3 says, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the Spirit? I thought for a moment, and I wanted to preach, my brothers and sisters, from this message. It's called No Place for Grace. No Place for Grace. I am a fitness instructor at the Edge Health and Fitness Center, 2950 South Church Street in Burlington, North Carolina. And on this particular day that I was there, I was getting ready to train and work out with my good friend who's also an instructor there at the gym. But on this day, my brothers and sisters, I just was not feeling it. Didn't really feel like training on that day. And my friend could tell that there was something wrong. And so she made that inquiry, what is going on with you? What's wrong? And so I began to give her a rundown of the things that are going on in my life. And I was saying that I was just worn down to a frazzle. Frazzle, that's a Sampson County word for some of y'all that don't know, means that I've had it about up here. Went on to tell her how I was ministering and how I was trying to get my daughter back to school and how I was teaching these fitness classes and early morning rises, and I was going through there and leaving the gym, having to go to work at Lyle Funeral Home as soon as I finished up, and then going back to the gym and working and trying to be a husband and father, pastoring full time, and all of these things that I'm doing. And on top of all of that, my feet was hurting. I had had it up to here. And then I remember saying to my friend these words. I said to her, I said, if I don't go to heaven, ain't nobody going. All the things that I'm doing, if I don't make it, there ain't going to be nobody else there. And my friend said something to me that shocked me and amazed me. She said to me, G, that's what they call me. She says, you're not going to heaven because of all those things you said you're doing. You're going to heaven because you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You're going to heaven not because of you working at the gym. You're going to heaven because you believe he died for your sins. You're not going to heaven for visiting someone sick in the hospital. You're going to heaven because Jesus got up one morning with all power, heaven and earth in his hand. You're not going to heaven by all of the visitations. You're going to heaven, why? Because he ascended back to glory, took a seat at the right hand of the Father, and you believe, my brother, that he's coming back again. My pity party didn't last too long. Because I believe that everything that she said. Yet somehow in my frustration, somehow in my day-to-day wear and rigors, I had somehow placed and affixed those things that I was doing that would give me a leg up in God's eye. That I was somehow now favored because of all the things that I was doing. If we were to be honest, how many of us have ever felt like that? How many of us have ever felt like Elijah as he fled from the place in face of Jezebel and flee and left the premises and said, it's finished, I've had enough. I'm doing all of these things. I'm working from sunup to sundown, and it seems as though no one appreciates what I'm doing. What I'm doing. The works that I am performing doesn't seem to measure up. My brothers and sisters, what I was able to conclude and find out that this is a doctrine that is not relatively new. It is one of old that we affix this term to called legalism. Legalism being what? Those things that are applicable that we somehow feel are relevant when we do those things that we do for justification. Few minutes of your time, I want to delve in and really begin this message about legalism and these things that we're doing, my brothers and sisters, because we have somehow forgotten about this wonderful thing called grace. Y'all do say amen here sometimes. Grace was good enough for the sinner to be saved. And if grace is good enough for the sinner to be saved, shouldn't grace be good enough for the saint after he gets saved? Legalism. What is legalism? Well, I looked up in Webster's Dictionary, defined legalism as the strict and excessive conformity to the law or to a religious or moral code. The strict conformity to that law. Baker's Bible Dictionary also described legalism as an attempt to apply self-effort to attain or to maintain one's justification before God. So right then it becomes what I do. That's important. Now I gotta take you back to my childhood, people of God. I just gotta take you back to the time that I was living in Sampson County and on a farm there in a place called Spivey's Corner, where I grew up and I had to go to church all of the time. Every single day, it seemed like I was in church. And all I heard growing up as a child is the things that I could and I could not do. Let me give you a quick rundown of some of the things that I couldn't do. You couldn't go to school dances. Why? Because if you did, the devil was gonna get you. Couldn't listen to blues on the record player. If you did, the devil was gonna get you. Other things you couldn't do. Certain athletics you couldn't be performing in. Playing cards? Uh-uh. Oh, no, those were the devil's tools. And if you played cards, the devil was going to get you. Ladies, I'm not going to leave y'all out. No, there were some things y'all couldn't do either. You couldn't walk around with makeup and lipstick on that made you a painted hussy. Still trying to figure out what a hussy is. Couldn't cut your hair. Men couldn't wear their hair long. Ladies, y'all couldn't wear pants. You had to wear skirts. You had to do all of these different things. And if you didn't do them, the devil was going to get you. And I found out something when I grew up and got a little bit of sense. I understood something, my brothers and sisters, because I said, wait a minute. If I'm doing these things that are displeasing to God, why on earth was the devil going to get me? It seems as though to me, if I'm not pleasing God, that makes the devil happy. Amen? Hey, somebody's looking at me, well, I ain't never think of it that way. If I'm not doing that which God approves of, the devil's not going to get me. I think it was just a way for them to make me behave during the day. So at night came when I was scared of the devil and I had my blanket pulled over my head and all that was showing was my nose so I could breathe. It was just to make us behave. And then when we asked the question why, they would say, well, it's just the way it is. They gave us no explanation why we couldn't do the things that we did. Couldn't wear pants, ladies. My cousin, bless her heart, her name is Sandra. She's over 60 now, and I never saw her wear a pair of pants. We would all be out playing kickball, and she could kick the ball to the moon, and here she is kicking a ball with a skirt on. Found it out. Legalism. the things that we did. Look at these scriptures, and I'm going to go into it right now, and I'm going to give you three. I'm going to try to get you there in front of the Cracker Barrel serving line before noon, so we're going to get ahead, and we're going to go to that. This first particular scripture as we look at, and when Paul was the writer of this particular passage, that he did what? He started this church in Galatia during the first missionary trip with Barnabas, and this letter was written somewhere around AD 49. And my brothers, this letter was written to those converts in Galatia in this church. Why? Because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But as it was written to those individuals to tell them to maintain and hold fast. Why? Because there were those individuals called Judaizers, those Jews that tried to get them to go back to the old way of the laws of Moses, those 633 other laws that they had to ascribe to and adhere to in order for them to not only receive salvation, but in order for them to maintain their salvation. So it was what they were doing that would get them saved. Their works. And why was works, my brothers and sisters, so important? You know what? I understand why the works to them was so important. It was so important to them because it not only felt it gave them a leg up to God, but it made them look important to other people. Boy, he's got to be a Christian if he's working at the church every day. He's got to be a Christian if he's doing those works that we see them doing. Just like I felt that day in the gym when my friend had to expose my nonsense. I felt like what I was doing was of essence and importance. And my brothers and sisters, let me let you in on something. Because when you get to looking at what you are doing as important, you now have taken your eye off the cross. You have turned back onto the wonderful deed that was done. That deed of propitiation. You've turned your back on the sacrificial lamb. Because when I'm looking at the cross, hallelujah, I'm not looking at what I'm doing. If I'm looking at the cross, what I'm doing is not so relevant. If I'm looking at the cross, I'm paying attention to what the Jesus Christ, my Savior, did so wonderful so long ago. That's why I love that song, On a Hill Far Away. Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross, you know the song, and exchange it someday for a crown. 3 points. Let me give you these and I'm going to get on out of your way. Look at Paul's, first of all, his indignation. He says in verse 1, when he calls these Galatians foolish. Notice the language here, what he says. He says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you? Who has caused you to run astray? Who's pulled the wool of your eyes? Who has performed the okey-doke on you? Because you understood the significance and the power of the cross. We told it to you, and it was evident to you. He says it was as clear to you as a what? As a billboard. It was clearly depicted and understood by you. Now someone has come and pulled the wool over your eye. And it was always that way with Christ. After all, here he goes about his daily ministry, and someone was always coming up to him, and they were trying to say to him, you can't do this, and you can't do this. Why is it that you're not washing your hands before you eat? Why is it that you ain't get the ox out on the day of the Sabbath? Why is it that you're healing on the Sabbath day? Listen, no one had the right to tell Jesus what to do. He came and he fulfilled all of the laws. And the laws were there to penalize us for our sins. But guess what? Grace came to liberate us. Do I have a witness in this house to liberate us from our sins? Second point. Not only did Paul express his indignation, but number two, he gave them an inquiry. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says these words, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law by the hearing of faith? He asks them a rhetorical question. And a rhetorical question, my brothers and sisters, is one where you already know the answer to. Kind of like in January, if I looked outside and I said, gee, is it raining again? Did y'all receive the law or the spirit by the works of the law? I said, surely not. You didn't receive the spirit by what you did. You received the Spirit the day you said yes to the Lamb of God. You received His Spirit when you said, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart He was raised from the dead. And that is the day that you received His Spirit. That is the day He backed His moving truck up to your life and He unloaded Himself and He moved inside of you. And now in His indwelling, He lives and reigns forever. Are y'all excited about that? Oh my goodness. Isn't that wonderful that He lives in you? And it didn't happen when I stopped drinking. Didn't happen when I started going to church. It didn't happen when I started paying my tithes. It didn't happen when I stopped cussing as much. It happened when I said yes to the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Final thing. Y'all, you got your watch there, girl? I don't know, she looking kind of sad. I must be over time. The final thing he says, he gives a reprimand. A reprimand, Paul's reprimand. And notice in verse 3, he says, are ye so foolish? He calls them foolish again. Foolish, this word moranos. He says, are you so foolish? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He says, now, does your work make you perfect? This word perfect is the word in the Greek, epiteleo. And that means to be what? Complete. So now, are you complete by your works? Does coming to church on Sunday make you complete? Does it make you complete when you visit Sister So-and-so and don't charge her for gas because you say, I'll let you slide this time? Are you complete now, my brothers and sisters, because you participate in a Sunday morning men's prayer breakfast? Does that make you complete? Does it make you complete because every time the church doors open, you're there? Are you complete? Why? Because of all of the rigors and tears and wears of ministry that you're doing to say, I can stick my chest out and I'm doing it. Does that make you complete? The answer is emphatically, no, it does not. What makes you complete is the faith to believe that Christ died on Calvary and that you believe that his perfect work of redemption was done when he said it's finished, and you receive that by your faith. And then my faith to believe in him makes me want to serve him. My faith makes me want to go help sister so-and-so. My faith makes me want to be in his house and fellowship with my brothers and my sisters. My faith, my brothers and sisters, to believe in him allows me to let me know that it's not my works, but it's the works in him and the works that he does in me that is the byproduct of us all sitting here today. Then we depart to do those works and giving him praise and glory just to be a part of the redeemed. It's not what you do. It's what he has already done. Give God some praise and glory in this house. Let's pray. Majestic Lamb of God, how we thank you. Just for who you are, the great architect of the universe. It was you, God, in the ex nihilo, for out of nothing came something as you spoke and worlds came into fruition. Your insight, God, and infinite wisdom saw through the annals of time that we here at Elon, that we here in Alamance County, that we here in this community would have need of a Savior. And so, God, you formed the perfect plan that it wasn't because of my doing and my works, but because of the saving grace, your finished product of Calvary, and my belief to say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, ensures me with eternal life. Help us to know, God, and place the relative importance upon that very act. And when we go about ministering unto others, when we go about witnessing to others, when we go about doing those things that you've assigned our hearts and our hands to do, that we will do so because of our faith to believe that you are. And you are truly a rewarder for those who diligently seek you. Thank you for this time and for this fellowship. And in your name we ask it all. May we all say amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 139, At the Cross. We'll sing first and last stanza.